So I just got out of the Win-Win screening, and we're at the party afterwards, and I'm sitting here with Gareth from Everest Entertainment, Gareth Smith, and you're an executive over there, and your company was one of the co-financiers of this movie. You were also a co-producer. You were a co-producer on 127 Hours,
correct.
And your company also co-financed Mother and Child, 127 Hours, and Mother and Child were in our screening series of podcasts, so anyone out there that hasn't heard those should. Tell us about your company, especially the charitable aspects, which I think people will find fascinating.
Yeah, we're really trying to do something that's quite different from what Hollywood's used to, in that the projects we're looking for are very unconventional things that don't necessarily jump out as commercial on a page, but which tell a story that is memorable and realistic and something that people will keep with them long after they leave the cinema. And the other thing is we really want to try and extend the social impact of those films by not just with this creative message, but also by contributing a portion of our proceeds to charities and causes that are linked thematically to the films that we produce. So we really kind of believe in making a long-term difference as well as conveying the messages that the films carry.
That's fantastic. What were the charities that you went to for Mother and Child and for 127 and Win-Win?
Well, for Mother and Child, it was a charity in New York called Inwood House, which is it's a really unique charity. Mother and Child is obviously a film about the effects of adoption and teenage pregnancy and all the kind of long-reaching, far-reaching effects that can have on people's lives. And Inwood House provides support for pregnant teenagers who are from kind of from poor backgrounds and need support, and it helps them with whatever they want to do, whether it's housing, it helps them with abortion guidance, and really just helps look after them.
And 127 hours?
That one's been a bit more difficult. We're kind of looking for the right thing. What we want to do is find something that will help us get high-quality prosthetics to children in America who can't necessarily afford them.
That's fantastic. What about Win-Win, tonight's film, here at Sundance?
Well, Win-Win deals with a kind of runaway teenager who just kind of ends up in the hands of the family at the core of the film. And so we've come across this charity called Echoes of Hope that offers support to emancipated teenagers from foster care. Typically, they just get sent out on the streets when they turn 18 with a couple of $100 in their pocket, whereas Echoes of Hope gives them a place to go, educational support, and kind of helps them get on their feet.
That's a great charity. I mean, foster care definitely needs that. How many scripts would you say you read a week?
Far too many. We're definitely reading, I'd say I read probably 300 or 400 scripts in the last 6 months.
So what would you say is the most common mistake that you see screenwriters make? Briefly, we have about a minute and a half left.
It's a tough one. I would always say that the things that stand out most when I'm reading the first 3 pages of a script are if you haven't bothered to check your spellings.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, capitalize in the right place and all that kind of stuff, I'm switched off. It could be the best script in the world, but it's really difficult to get past mistakes that are just as simple as that to fix. But I think structure and character will carry through. It's really well done.
Some executives have a policy where I'm going to only read 10 pages or 20 pages or 50 pages. The old adage is if somebody did that to The Sixth Sense, they would think it's a movie about a little boy going to a shrink. What do you have something like that? How long do you get to
I generally read right to the end because there's always the chance that there's going to be that moment of genius that's worth the build-up. I can, out of the hundreds of scripts I've read, I can probably count 3 or 4 that I've actually thought, you know what, this is just terrible. But generally I think it's if someone's taken the time to write the script, it's a sign of respect that they should be read.
It's a tough time for financing. You guys have a private equity background that kind of helps you co-finance. What advice would you give to filmmakers starting out today for these things? Is it stay with the private equity model?
I think it's difficult. I think there's so much on the market right now looking for financing. Even the big studios at this stage are kind of reaching out for financing support from partners. And so I think it's difficult coming in unless you've got a really unique selling point, some kind of package, great director, talent, someone that's interested, something that's going to make you really stand out.
Cool. Now, just for our listeners out there that want to send a script to your company, they should not unless they're represented by an agent or a lawyer, right?
Correct. It's I would love to read.
No, that's the way it should be, actually, for both their sake and your sake.
Yeah, it's difficult, but
cool.
You know, if you've got an agent, and especially if you've got something that's packaged, that's got a director, that's got
great.
A really great kind of setup, then we'll look at it.
Perfect.